Tonight, I really want to pick up on the theme that really we followed all day long, and this emphasis on the Holy Spirit. We started, our adults began together in our deeper class talking about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. And then in the book of Acts, we discussed the empowering of the church by the Holy Spirit. And so I had some things that I wanted to talk about in the adult class this morning that we just never got to for sake of time. But I do want to encourage you, my dad mentioned this morning in the message that as we go through Acts, we're going to look at some of these controversial, they shouldn't be controversial, I don't want to say controversial because they're truths from the Word of God, but passages that are abused by some people and some movements. So we're going to discuss things like miraculous gifts and tongues, and we already spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's really a foundational teaching that we have to get right. So if you missed that, I want to encourage you, especially those that may be Sunday school teachers, I'd encourage you to get on the website, listen to the audio or something to kind of follow along with us as we study this, because it'll be good for all of us to be learning this together. So we come to Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want us to look at we're going to look at several verses, but I want us to look at verse number 18. So zero your attention in on Ephesians 5, verse 18. So I want to make sure the kids get there too. I see some people turning. Here, hand me this real quick. I'll speed it up. I'll get you there, bud. I want everybody to follow along tonight. We're going to stay pretty much in the book of Ephesians the whole time. So Ephesians chapter number 5. You are all ready to go right there. All right. Isn't it great to see those young men take up the offering this evening? Amen. It's important to learn to serve the Lord. So you kids, you're not just here in church to be served, but to become servants and to serve the Lord. Gideon is helping us with our running the slides up there, doing that, which is awesome. And a couple of the young girls I heard wrote a song that they've been a song to the Lord, and I heard it was pretty good. So maybe in future weeks we'll get to hear something like that. But we are here to honor the Lord, young and old, aren't we? And that's what this Sunday night service is all about, each of us coming together as a church and worshiping together. So I'm glad that you're here. Let's look at verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine. That will be good advice for a lot of Christians today right off the bat. And be not drunk with wine. But rather, in your life, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray together. Lord, please help us tonight. We do desire your presence. We sang and lifted our voices to worship you. We gave an offering, and now we look forward to the preaching of your word. So I pray that you'd help me to expound it clearly and truthfully. I pray for us as a church to listen to it and to be challenged and changed by it. So we need your help most of all, and we need your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to catch you up to speed on one thing that I discussed with the group this morning that's really a very important distinction for us. When a person gets saved, when a person becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Is everybody with me tonight? Can you say amen? Amen. All right, I want to hit the ground rolling and moving here. I know it was a hot, warm day, so let's engage right from the start. When you are saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You become a believer, you become part of the family of God, and that is called the what? The baptism of, let's all say that together, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, ready? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That happens when you're saved. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We belong to Him. So let me ask you this. When you get saved, how much of the Holy Spirit do you have? You know it. You've got all of them. When you get saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing you can do to get more of them. There's no prayer you have to pray to get some second blessing. There's nothing you have to do to get more of the Holy Spirit of God. You've got all of them. You belong to Him. You're in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit. But how much of the Holy Spirit, how much of us does the Holy Spirit have? How much of us? So I have all of the Holy Spirit, but how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? Well, in one sense, you'd say, well, He has all of us. But I think when we think about this passage, be filled with the Holy Spirit, I think you'll see what I mean. How much control do we allow the Holy Spirit to have in our lives? Because the truth about being filled with the Spirit, and what we're going to see tonight, is there are no miracles in this passage of Scripture. There are no miracles at all associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit. No miracles, no amazing things. Do you know what kind of things we're going to see that come with the filling of the Holy Spirit? We're going to see people living obedient Christian lives. Being filled with the Spirit means, well, what is it compared to? It's compared to being filled with what? What's that? It's a contrast, right? Don't be filled with wine that would make you drunk, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Just like an intoxicant, a drug or alcohol would control your mind and control your body, the Holy Spirit is supposed to take control of our lives. But we have to yield to Him. So the question that each of us should ask tonight is not, do I have all of the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of me? Does the Holy Spirit have all of me? If you're a child in here tonight, if you're a young person, you could be a teenager or a young child. If you are saved, you as a child have the Holy Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, lives with us. You have all of Him, but you have to make a choice to let Him control you. You have to make a choice to let the Holy Spirit fill you and direct you. You might say, we have expressions like this about filling. Like, oh, I was just filled with anger. Well, what do we mean when we say that? We mean that there was no place in our emotion for anything else. We were so angry that our emotion, our action was consumed by that one thing. I was filled with it. We might say, well, I was just so filled with joy. I was excited. There's no room for anything else. I want to show you a couple of things here. First of all, I want you to see here in Ephesians chapter 5, the urgency, the absolute urgency of why we have to be filled with the Spirit. Look back with me at verse number 13. Well, actually, look back at verse number 11 as Paul sets this up. We actually are toward the end of the first discussion, and then he tells us to be followers of God in the first part of Ephesians chapter 5, and now he's getting ready to tell us to be filled with the Spirit, which is the second part of Ephesians chapter 5. But what he says here is he reminds us about the urgency of the condition. In verse 11 he says, and have, what does he say, and have what? No fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. What he's saying here is like Pastor Taylor preached, and Mike and I were talking about that today, how we all needed that message that Pastor Taylor preached. What a great message on Friday night. But he reminded us that we live in a dark world. We live in a world where it is night. And we're reminded in this passage the urgency of the situation. We need Christians to be filled with the Spirit because we're not going to be able to just go along through life and have our Christian life just kind of automatically work out for us. It's not going to happen. If we go with the drift, if we go with the flow, if we go with whatever's going on around us, it's going to pull us away from the Lord. There is an urgency. We live in a dark, dark world. In fact, there are things this verse says. Did you see that in verse number 12? For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Do we want to be filled with the Spirit? Do we want to be filled with the Spirit tonight? Well, let me challenge you with this. We can't turn on the television and speak of those things that are in darkness. Because there's an urgency about it. The world is dark. And what's happening is we as Christians will watch programming or we'll watch movies filled with the works of darkness. The Bible says those are things, never mind entertain ourselves with them, the Bible says those are things we shouldn't even talk about. We shouldn't even discuss those things. I even believe in preaching that we're supposed to name sin and all of that, but there are some things that I believe we ought to be very careful how we even talk about them because they are dark and evil. And the Bible says we shouldn't speak about the evil things. We should rather reprove them. There's an urgency. We must be filled with the Spirit or else we'll be captivated by the darkness. But there's more to this urgency. Read on with me. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We talked about that on Wednesday night. It's amazing to see how if you come to all the church services, the Holy Spirit will minister to you in all kinds of ways and begin to tie the Scriptures together. So he says here, now we come to verse number 14, which is an incredible verse, very similar to the Romans passage we saw on Friday night. Look what he says, verse 14. Here's the urgency. Here's the climax of the urgency. You looking at it? Verse 14. You ready? You got to have your Bible open or you're not going to be able to see this. Open them up. Help him get his spot back there. Got to see it. Verse number 14 says this. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. That's a great point in a message for a lot of Baptist preachers. You know, they look out at the crowd. Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up. But here he's not talking about dozing off because you're tired. By the way, I do have a conviction, and my dad brought us up this way. I don't care if I was 8 years old, if I was falling asleep in church, I was getting woken up in that service. I mean, wake up. If we can't stay awake in church, then you need to take a nap on Sunday afternoon, right? I mean, that's what we've come for. If we truly believe that Sunday's the Lord's Day, we don't stay up late and have a great time on Saturday night and come to church exhausted on Sunday morning. In fact, my dad, when I was the youth leader, my dad told me, you don't do late night youth activities on Saturday. And then Aaron became the youth leader, and me and him echoed it. No late nights on Saturdays. Kids need to be in bed so they can be in church on Sunday morning. But it's the same for Sunday night. There's a lot of churches, they just don't have Sunday night service, right? And I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but if we're going to have it, let's have it, right? Come on. So we come ready to hear the word of God. So why? Because there's an urgency. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is dark. It's going to pull us away. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I think that passage right there is an illustration really in a lot of ways of our salvation. So we are in a sleep of death, and we are completely unaware of the darkness that surrounds us. But the Holy Spirit comes, and what's He do? He revives us. He quickens us. He awakens us and said, let me bring you into the light. But that's a reminder for you and I throughout our Christian journey. There are times where I know myself where I start to fade a little bit into the darkness. Like, oh, what kind of things are you doing? Well, I mean, like me and Brother Frank were talking about the other day. We stopped giving out tracts. Right? Were you and me talking about that? Yeah. And he was sharing with me. He's like, I feel convicted about that. And you know what was happening in my life? I was feeling convicted about the same thing. Who am I reaching for Christ? Wake up! Wake up! The world is dark. It's a dark place. And my dad and I were talking yesterday. We're kind of fired up about preaching through the book of Acts. Because if anything's going to wake us up as Christians, it's looking at what the Holy Spirit did in the early church. And how the Holy Spirit, not people through their system. We had a great children's workers ministry meeting. You should have seen all the people there. I mean, like, if it would be like the whole side of the room over here. We're all the people in our church that are involved in children's ministry. That's an awesome thing. I mean, huge group of people. We had a great meeting about keeping our kids safe and some new policies to help protect all that and getting more organized and doing this and doing that. But hey, let's never forget, we could have the most organized, structured, and impressive children's ministry in the world, but if it doesn't have the filling and power of the Holy Spirit, they might as well go to the YMCA. We need the power of God. We need His filling. And He desires to fill us. It's we who prevent. It's we who grieve. It's we who quench. But we desperately need His filling. We're going to buy that van. I believe that. We've got about almost halfway there to buy that van. We're not there yet. God's going to provide the money. I believe that because we want to use that van to reach people for Christ. We don't just want to have a nice van that we can drive around town. But if we raise all that money, but we don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to fill the van up. But then even if we did fill the van up, but if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, what good would it accomplish? Are you understanding what I mean and what the Scripture means by the urgency here? That Christians, we have to wake up. We have to be awake. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, verse 15, this idea of the urgency, now he's getting us ready to remind us to be filled with the Spirit. He says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, and don't be fools." The Apostle Paul is really blunt right there. He says, Christian, don't be a fool. Don't be stupid, he says. That's what he means. Don't be dumb. Be wise. Circumspectly. Now that's an interesting word. Wouldn't you say? Do you know what circumspectly means? You don't. All right, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. You're going to help us here learn what circumspectly. Now, we might be able to figure out some of it. We might be able to figure out some of it because we get the word spect from what? Spect. Spect. Eyes, spectrum, spectacles. What do you think? Good? No? All right. Spectacles. But now, circum reminds us of what shape? Wait, let's let the kids do it. We're talking about circumspectly. So, Kennedy, circum reminds us of what shape? A square? No? A rectangle? A triangle? Aiden, help your sister out. A circle. There you go. So if spectly means the eyes, and circum is a circle, it means you're supposed to be looking, how? Looking in a circle. Now, kids do that naturally, don't they? Like, oh, is that every which way? In a circle, looking around that way, looking around that way, okay? But the Bible says this. The Bible says that this is a dangerous world that you live in. Not because there's cars or trucks out there in the street like I'm always warning you about. But it's a dangerous world because there's lots of sin out there that wants to destroy you. Do we understand the urgency of the day that it's a dark world and this little guy is growing up in a dark world? Right? And so he is going to have to learn to be looking around him. You got to be watching over there. But you better not stop looking over here. And then what's behind you? You got to look this way. You got to look that way. You got to look over there. But listen, he's only seven. Yeah, he's only seven. You're seven too. When you're seven, you're not very circumspect. You got to learn to be circumspect, to look around, to be watchful on all sides. But so you and I, we have to do that for them. Parents, you have to walk circumspectly. We can't let the television babysit our kids for us, or the internet. We need to be aware of what's going on because the attack could come from over there. But just when you think you've got this area all taken care of, you've got to be circumspect because the attack could be coming from way over here. And you might say, well, that's just a lot of pressure. Yeah, it is. That's a lot of pressure. That's why you've got to be filled with the Spirit. Because then the Spirit will guard your eyes. The Spirit will guide your eyes. He will show us where to watch. But it's urgent. We can't fool around. We can't waste time. And that's, in fact, the next thing he says. First he says, the urgency of this need to be filled. He says, you've got to be circumspect, watchful on all sides. But then secondly, in this idea, he says, you've also got to do what? I'm down to verse 16 now. Not only to walk circumspectly, but then you've got to what? Redeem the time. Redeem the time. This is an awesome picture. When you redeem something, you take your money, you buy it back. You purchase it back. You redeem it. Who is the god of this world? Satan. Satan is the god of this world. It says he's blinded the minds of the people in the world. Satan's the god of this world, and he loves watching the clock tick down on our lives. He loves watching the clock tick down because every minute we waste is a minute that cannot be used for the kingdom of God. Every idle word, Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So the devil loves to watch the hourglass of our life, the sand just sift away, and say, and maybe he didn't get you to destroy your life in sin, but if he can just get you to waste your time while some of that sand slips away, if he can just get you to be distracted, to worry about making money, to worry about having fun, to worry about this, to worry about this, as the sand of time just sifts away. And Jesus says, God says, get out there, spend some energy buying back the time for the kingdom of God. Redeem the time. Why? Well, keep looking on. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. Listen, there's a lot of Christians that they just want to go to a nice church with their nice family, with some nice friends, with some nice programs, where they can not have to worry about everything. Listen, we are called to engage in a battle, in spiritual warfare. We are called to make a difference for souls. And it's going to cost us something if we're truly going to redeem the time. You have to spend something in order to redeem something of value. Redeem the time because the days are evil. It's urgent. And built up on all that urgency, now we have a command. And that's what we began with. So point number two is the command. First is the urgency, then the command. And that is to be what? Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Point number two is over because we already talked about it at the beginning. Be controlled by the Spirit. It's urgent. It's commanded. And now finally, let's look at what it looks like. What are the evidences? So we've seen the urgency, the command to be filled, and now what is the evidence that someone is filled? Our friends in some charismatic kinds of churches will say, well, the evidence of being filled by the Spirit is that you what? Speak in tongues, or heal, or get this warm feeling over you, or this happens or that happens. Interestingly enough, Paul says, if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you know what it's going to look like? First off, you're going to sing. You're going to be a singer. You're going to sing. When we sing in church, it ought to, and I look out sometimes, and and I see people, and you can, and I'm not judging, because some people just have a very straightforward demeanor. I'm not saying that they are not singing in the Spirit. But there are other people where their inside just kind of gushes out on their face. You know what I'm talking about? And so it's not that, I'm not saying that other people aren't singing in the Spirit, but there's some people, you look at them and you can tell outwardly that they are just spending their energy in praise. So interesting, what my dad mentioned clapping this morning. You can say amen. Some people clap. Some people say amen. Some people shout hallelujah. By the way, all of those things are found in the Bible. But can I challenge you with this? An amen, if it's not in the Spirit, means nothing. A hallelujah, if it's not in the Spirit, is nothing. If you're going to clap, it better be not for the singer, but for the glory of the Lord. Praise is expressive, for sure, but it had sure better be because of it should be the filling of the Spirit, not the flesh. So one evidence is that we sing, not just in church, but in church. He says here, interestingly enough, who do we sing to in this passage? When we're spiritual, who do we sing to? Yep, but you miss somebody else. We sing to ourselves. In Colossians, we also sing to one another. So you'll find in the Bible three groups of people that we sing to. When you sing, you're singing to yourself. That's why we love to sing rich doctrinal songs, because we're teaching ourselves about God when we sing them. We like to sing relational songs because we're singing to the Lord about our love for Him. We like to sing other doctrinal songs because we're teaching each other about God. But it all has to be done by the Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we will sing in the Spirit. Both psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So what is a sign of being filled with the Spirit? You're going to sing. But then what are you going to do? You're going to give thanks. You're going to be a thankful person. I think this is the easiest way to tell if you're being, personally, for me anyway, maybe not for you, but for me, the easiest test if I'm in the Spirit or not is how thankful am I in any minute. It's so easy to complain, isn't it? No? Just for me? It's so easy to be upset, grumpy, dissatisfied, unthankful. If you find, I'm telling you, if you catch yourself, and you will this week, if you catch yourself in a moment of just cantankerism, that's the easiest indicator, that you are not filled with the Spirit. It's almost like a warning light that God gives us. Danger ahead. Check your instrument panel. As soon as that ungratitude begins to well up inside of us, it's the first sign that we are not filled with the Spirit, but it's also at the easiest place to remedy the situation, because we can just stop and give thanks. We can just stop and give thanks. If we're, and we can be surrounded by negativity, can't we? You watch too much news. I mean it. We watch too much of the news or listen to all that. It's just one side complaining about everything going wrong. Listen, even with all of our troubles, man, in America, we've got so much to be thankful for. I mean, so much. There's so much to give thanks for. And then on top of that, we're Christians. We know the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And if you can't think of any other reason, how about this? For his mercy endureth forever. So the number one test, or for me anyway, the easiest thing to know, if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm filled with Spirit, is how thankful am I? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, the most interesting evidence, the most fascinating evidence of a person who is walking with the Spirit and is filled with the Spirit is that they will what? They will submit. They will have a submissive heart. That ends a section. And then in the following verses, verse 22, all the way down through chapter 6 and verse 9, he explains who should be submitting to who and how people should relate to one another. So here's one for you. Think about this, and this is just a little aside. There are plenty of people that would say, well, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm speaking in tongues. But the wife is not submitting to her husband. So how could she truly be filled with the Spirit? Or a man may say, well, look, I'm filled with the Spirit because, there's our hornet again, so I'm filled with the Spirit and I speak in tongues. But he's not loving his wife as Christ loved the church. So how could he be filled with the Spirit? It's a contradiction. It's a complete contradiction. Because the evidences of filling with the Spirit are not primarily supernatural. They're rarely supernatural, actually. They're usually... Well, I shouldn't say they're not supernatural. I think you know what I mean. They are the natural realm being affected by the supernatural. They are our everyday lives walking in obedience. You find an obedient Christian, and that's someone who's filled with the Spirit. You find someone who's filled with the Spirit, and you'll find an obedient Christian. You'll find somebody who's, as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, and you won't find my commandments to be grievous unto you. You'll embrace the commandments of God. That's being filled with the Spirit. But it extends in lots of areas. In this passage, he reminds us that we're going to submit one to another. In verse 22, wives to your husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's a big command. That's a heavy command. It says, so let the wives be to their own husbands in something. No, in everything. But then, maybe even a greater and more sobering and daunting task is given to the husbands. Because husbands are called to love their wives, but not love their wives like other people love. But husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What does spirit filling look like? It looks like wives submitting to their husbands, and it looks like husbands faithfully loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Skip down now. We're not done with the evidence of the filling of the Spirit. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. It's not just husbands and wives, but it's who? Children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I'll tell you, one of the main signs that our churches in America, at least, or in the West at least, that one of the biggest signs that our churches are not filled with the Spirit of God is that families are completely out of order. Families completely out of order. Husbands living for themselves and not sacrificing for their wives and children. Women rising up for their rights and demanding some idea of equality that's not even reality in a lot of ways. A worldly idea of equality, not what true biblical equality is, which is equal value before God, but difference in role. We see children allowed to just disobey their parents with no repercussions. Why is all this happening? Is it because our culture is decaying? Sure, but that's only an excuse for the world. What's the excuse for the church? The church is not filled with the Spirit. And how do we expect to have an impact out there if we can't allow the Spirit to have an impact in here? Right? This is what the Bible says. And then verse number 5, it extends to servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with all fear and trembling and singleness of your heart. Verse number 9, ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening. This was talking about the social relationships of their day. If you found yourself the subordinate of someone, you were to submit to them. If you found yourself to be the superior to someone, you were to lead them lovingly and kindly. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It simply means that we daily yield our lives to His authority, to His control. He's given us some tests. Do I have a singing heart? Do I have a thankful heart? And am I obeying the word that He's given me? It's commanded, and it's urgent. Because if there is any hope for this world, sometimes it's astounding to us. Isn't it surprising to us that God would choose to use people? We've got an attack going on over here. Oh, Micah, you're in grave danger. Oh, that's a way to use the sword right there. You petrified him and he's scared to death, went right into the light there. So see what happens to him. Sunday nights, I tell you what, it's either the Hornets or the Ice Cream Man. The Ice Cream Man came this year before church started. You guys weren't here last year. I'd be right in the middle of my sermon. Ding, 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 dong. You know, just like at that point. Yeah. Yeah, you should have seen people run out of the building. No, I made that part up. That part I made up. The ice cream truck part was true, though. All right, let's just bring it home. I'm finished, but let's just be reminded of what we've talked about tonight. The days are urgent. We're here to make a difference. Because of that urgency, we cannot waste time. We must seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have all of Him. Does He have all of us? Examine your life. Look at the evidence that the Holy Spirit has given us. Am I living a filled life? Let's pray. As we pray, we won't have a come forward invitation, but I still think we should have an invitation. We should have a time for each of us to make a commitment to the Lord tonight about what these next days are going to be like in our life and how we are going to seek His filling. So let's just close quietly, and then I'll finish in prayer. Lord, each of us as Christians, as fathers here, as mothers here, as children, as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, Lord, we have just a great responsibility to one another to walk circumspectly, to make an impact in this community where you've placed us. And Lord, we need your filling. We need your power. I pray that each day we would wake up seeking it. I pray that this week would be a different kind of a week, that in all that we do, in our work, in our families, we would begin with hearts singing and thanking you and being obedient to you. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd give us opportunities this week, or we know you give them to us. Help us to see the opportunities you give us to share the gospel. Maybe to grab some tracts as we leave tonight, or think of some people that we need to talk to. But Lord, help us to be on the lookout for opportunities to witness. I thank you for our church. Lord, we need you. We want to see you accomplish great things in our midst, so we trust you to do it. So please dismiss us in your love and care this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.